Chapter 5. The blue-black shine that had so nicely encircled TJ's left eye for over a week had almost completely faded by the morning TJ hopped into the back of the wagon beside Stacy and snuggled in a corner not occupied by the butter, milk, and eggs Big Ma was taking to sell at the market in Strawberry. I sat up front beside Big Ma, still sandy-eyed and not believing that I was actually going. The second Saturday of every month was market day in Strawberry, and for as far back as I could remember, the boys and I had been begging Big Ma to take us to it. Stacy had actually gone once, but Christopher John, Little Man, and I had always been flatly denied the experience. We had, in fact, been denied so often that our pestering now occurred more out of habit than from any real belief that we would be allowed to go. But this morning, while the world lay black, Big Ma called, "Cassie, get up, child. If you're gonna go to town with me, but be quiet about it, you wake up Christopher John or Little Man, and I'll leave you here. I don't want them crying all over the place 'cause they can't go." As Jack swept the wagon into the gray road, Big Ma pulled tightly on the reins and grumbled, "Hold on, you Jack. Hold on. I ain't got no time to be putting up with both you and TJ's foolishness." "TJ?" Stacy and I exclaimed together. "He going?" Big Ma didn't answer immediately. She was occupied in a test of wills with Jack. When hers had prevailed and Jack had settled into a moderate trot, she replied moodily, "Mr. Avery come by after y'all was asleep last night wanting TJ to go to Strawberry to do some shopping for a few things he couldn't get at the Wallace store. Lord, that's all I need with all the trouble about is for that child to talk me to death for 22 miles. Big Ma didn't need to say any more, and she didn't. TJ was far from her favorite person, and it was quite obvious that Stacy and I owed our good fortune entirely to TJ's obnoxious personality. TJ, however, was surprisingly subdued when he settled into the wagon. I suppose that at 3:30 in the morning, even TJ's mouth was tired. But by dawn, when the December sun was creeping warily upward, shooting pale streams of buff-colored light through the forest, he was fully awake and chattering like a cockatoo. His endless talk made me wish that he had not managed to wheedle his way so speedily back into Stacy's good graces. But Big Ma, her face furrowed in distant thoughts, did not hush him. He talked the rest of the way into Strawberry, announcing as we arrived, "Well, children, open your eyes and take in Strawberry, Mississippi." "Is this it?" I cried, a gutting disappointment enveloping me as we entered the town. Strawberry was nothing like the tough, sprawling bigness I had envisioned. It was instead a sad, red place. As far as I could see, the only things modern about it were a paved road which cut through its center and fled northward away from it, and a spindly row of electrical lines. Lining the road were strips of red dirt, splotched with patches of brown grass and drying mud puddles, and beyond the dirt and the mud puddles, gloomy store buildings set behind raised wooden sidewalks and sagging verandas. "Shoot," I grumbled. "It sure ain't nothing to shout about." "Hush up, Cassie," Big Ma said. "You too, TJ. Y'all in town now, and I expects y'all to act like it. In another hour, this place'll be teeming up with folks from all over the county, and I don't want no trouble." As the stores gave way to houses still sleeping, we turned onto a dirt road which led past more shops and beyond to a wide field dotted with wooden stalls. Near the field entrance, several farm wagons and pickups were already parked, but Big Ma drove to the other side of the field where only two wagons were stationed. Climbing from the wagon, she said, "Don't seem like too many folks ahead of us. In the summer, I'd have had to come on Friday and spend the night to get a spot like this." She headed toward the back of the wagon. "Stacy, you and TJ, stay up there a minute and push them milk cans over here so's I can reach 'em." "Big Ma," I said, following her, "all them folks up there selling milk and eggs too?" "Not all, I reckon. Some of 'em got meat, and vegetables, quilts, and so on and such. But I guess a good piece of them selling the same as us. I studied the wagons parked at the field entrance, then exclaimed, "Well, what the devil we doing way back here, then? Can't nobody see us?" "You watch your mouth, girl," warned Big Ma. Then, arranging the milk cans and baskets of eggs near the wagon's edge, she softened her voice and promised, "We'll do all right. I got me some regular customers, and they'll check to see if I'm here for they buy." "Not back here, they won't," I grumbled. Maybe Big Ma knew what she was doing, but it made absolutely no sense to me to be so far from the entrance. Most of the other farmers seemed to have the right idea, and I couldn't help but try to make her see the business sense in moving the wagon forward. "Why don't we move our wagon up there with them other wagons, Big Ma? There's plenty of room, and we can sell more."
"Them's white folks' wagons, Cassie," Big Ma said gruffly, as if that explained everything. "Now, hush up and help me get this food out."
"Shoot," I mumbled, taking one of the buckets from Stacy. "By the time a body walk way back here, they'll have bunions on their soles and corns on their toes." By noon, the crowd which had covered the field during the early morning had thinned noticeably, and the wagons and trucks began to pack up and head for town. After we had eaten our cold lunch of oil sausages and cornbread washed down with clabber milk, we did the same. On the main street of Strawberry once more, Big Ma parked the wagon in front of a building where four shingles hung from a rusted post. One of the shingles read, "Wade W. Jameson, Attorney at Law." "Mr. Jameson live here?" I cried, scrambling down. "I want to see him."
"He don't live here," said Big Ma, opening her large purse. She pulled out a long manila envelope, checked inside, then gingerly put it back again. "This here's his office, and I got some business with him. You get on back in the wagon."
Big Ma climbed down, but I didn't get back in. "Can't I just go up and say hey?" I persisted.
"I'm gonna hey you," Big Ma said. "You keep pestering me."
She glanced over at Stacy and TJ.
"Y'all wait here for me, and soon's I get back, we'll go do that shopping so's we can get on home, before it gets dark."
When she had gone inside, TJ said, "What you want to see that old white man for anyway, Cassie?
What you and him got to talk about?"
"I just want to see him, that's all," I said, going to the raised sidewalk and taking a seat. "I like Mr. Jameson, and I didn't mind admitting it. He came to see us several times a year, mainly on business, and although the boys and I were somewhat shy of him, we were always glad to see him. He was the only white man I had ever heard address Mama and Big Ma as Mrs., and I liked him for it. Besides that, in his way, he was like Papa. Ask him a question, and he would give it to you straight with none of this pussyfooting around business. I liked that." After several minutes of watching farmers in faded overalls and their women in flower sack cut dresses promenading under the verandas, TJ said, "Why don't we go on down to the mercantile and look around?" Stacy hesitated. "I don't know. I think Big Ma wanted to go with us."
"Aw, shoot, man. We'll be doing her a favor. We go on down to the mercantile now and order up our stuff. We'll save her some time so when she comes from seeing that lawyer, we can just go on home. Besides, I got something to show you."
Stacy pondered the suggestion for a long moment.
"Well, I guess it'll be all right," he said finally.
"Big Ma said to stay here," I objected,
hoping that Mr. Jameson would come out with Big Ma. "Stay here then," Stacy called over his shoulder as he crossed the street with TJ. I dashed after them. I wasn't about to stay on that sidewalk by myself.